Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 16. I want us to look at tonight a lady named Phoebe. And I'm sure if you've studied at all the book of Romans, you've crossed paths with Phoebe. In Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 33, Paul focuses on his relationship to the Lord. And now in Romans 16, the apostle focuses on his relationship to other believers, which really tells us that a right relationship with the Lord always precedes and manifests itself in a right relationship with God's children. You can tell a lot about your relationship to others because of the relationship you have with the Lord. If you're right with the Lord, you're going to be right with those around you. You're going to be right with those in your home. You'll be right with those at work. So I don't think it's any accident that Paul focuses first on chapter 15, his relationship with the Lord, and then he speaks of those of his acquaintances. So just a principle here, a right vertical relationship enables a right horizontal relationship. Now the believers Paul greets here in chapter 16 numbered at least 26 people by name, as well as two unnamed saints, along with several churches meeting in homes. Plus, he closes with greetings from nine believers who were with him in Corinth during the writing of this letter, which all tells us that Paul did have his share of friends, meaning he did have right horizontal relationships. What of all this cordiality reveals is the personal and practical aspect of agape love. Paul earlier described in chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, this practical love, this agape love, which a few years earlier he defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And of course, that's the love chapter. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. I know you know those verses. But the lesson here is God's true servants have a genuine love for God's people, which Paul reveals through his deep affection for those whom he served, for those who served him, and for those who served with him. I like the fact that no one was simply ordinary to Paul. Each believer mattered, and thus he spoke so warmly and appreciatively of these Christian servants who were as much his brothers and sisters in Christ as Peter, James, and John, other New Testament notables. There was no Christian caste system with Paul. I love that. Now, Paul begins Romans 16 with a special commendation for a lady named Phoebe, and she will be our focus this evening. And we'll see from just two verses that we'll look at, verses 1 and 2, Paul's description of Phoebe, and then Paul's desire for Phoebe. Let me read those verses. Romans 16, verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord, as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Well, our first point this evening is Paul's description of Phoebe. Now, the name Phoebe means bright and radiant. And from Paul's brief comments about her, it seems that these words, characterizing and explanatory words, did indeed define this lady. And really, should not the bright and radiant beauty of Christ be manifested through all of us? Shouldn't the effects of Christ's life being alive in us be clearly evident in our walk and in our talk? For after all, Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Folks, if we're walking after Christ, who is the light of life, that life will be, that radiant light that speaks of that life will be seen in us, and how that should testify of Christ's beauty to those around us. I call experiencing the light of life bright and radiant beauty. Honestly, and I've said this before, a Christian should be the most friendly, happy, joy-filled, beautiful person around. Physically, he might look like, well, who knows? But Christ should so radiate from his inside out that it's obvious that you and me are Christians. Now, Paul uses three words to describe Phoebe. He commends her to the church at Rome in three specific ways. And the first way is as a sister in Christ. Paul states in verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Now, in Christ, we belong to God not only as fellow citizens with the saints in his heavenly kingdom, but also as brothers and sisters in his divine household, in his home. Ephesians 2:19 declares, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. And so for Paul to refer to Phoebe as our sister meant that she was a devoted member of God's family. She was one of the sisters in God's family. And this term of endearment signified that she was actively involved in the work of the Lord, as is evident in the next two words that Paul used to describe Phoebe, which are servant and succorer or helper. Paul continued in verse 1 by saying, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea. This lady, who was apparently a successful businesswoman from the city of Cenchrea, the seaport city of Corinth on the Cyrenaic Gulf, was called not only a sister, but a servant. By the way, Paul sailed from this port when he went from Corinth to Ephesus several years earlier, and it was one of the communities to which the gospel spread from Corinth during and after Paul's initial ministry in that city. Now, the Greek word for servant, diakonos, is the term for which we get our English word deacon. And we see that in Philippians 1, 1 Timothy 3, which should remind us of the role of the deacons in the church. They are servants. They are called to serve the church, which we see in Acts chapter 6, verse 2. Do you know what the role of deacons in the church was in Acts chapter 6? They were to serve tables. They were to serve tables. Now, obviously, Paul used here this term for a woman, which raises the question, is he establishing an additional recognized position in the church? Does this reference to Phoebe as a servant, as a deaconess, tell us we need to designate qualified women to such an office here at Westside? In 1 Timothy 3:11, Paul says, of deacons' wives, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, not gossipers, sober, faithful in all things. Now, some theologians do think that there is a spiritual mandate for a church having deaconesses. Personally, I believe in this instance, it simply refers to a servant in general. For the Greek word used here also was used of the household servants who do the water that Jesus turned into wine. It is used to refer to government as a minister of God to you for good. The government is to serve us. We are not to serve the government. And then it was used of Christ as a servant to the circumcision, in other words, to the Jewish people. Now, during the first few centuries of the church, the role of a woman in the church was to, number one, care for fellow believers who were sick, and number two, to provide for the poor, for strangers passing through, and for those who were imprisoned. So these women were to care for the sick, care for the poor, care for strangers, care for those who were imprisoned. These women also were responsible for discipling new women converts. Remember, older women were and are to teach the younger women, which tells us whether or not Phoebe held such an official title. Paul commended her as a highly proven servant of Christ. Phoebe truly served. Now, in particular here, Phoebe was entrusted with the responsibility of carrying this epistle to the members at the church in Rome. And what a trustworthy job that was. And this letter, probably written through the hand of Tertius, and you see that in verse 22 of Romans 16, was the only copy of the book of Romans. And so how valuable it was, this copy, this only copy of the book of Romans. And the journey from Corinth to Rome would have not been easy. It would have involved considerable sea as well as land travel. And travel in those days was often hazardous. The few inns that existed along the way were usually connected to taverns that often functioned as brothels. And so the only safe places to stay were with a friend or a friend of a friend. And so consequently, letters of commendation were routinely given to travelers by friends who had friends or relatives along the way who could provide food, lodging, and sometimes escort the guests through the dangerous areas. Such help was especially important for Christians, and more especially for those who were Jewish, who were often subjected to persecution by both Gentiles and unbelieving Jews. By having such letters of commendation, or such letters of commendation can be seen in Acts 18 for Apollos and 2 Corinthians 8 for Titus and his companions. Again, the point is Phoebe was a servant. And I think we all need to ask ourselves, if someone was describing us, if someone was describing how we are at home, if someone was describing how we are at work, if someone was describing how we are at school, if someone was describing how we are at church, would the word servant be used? But not only does Paul call Phoebe a sister and a servant, but a succorer, which is an old English word that simply means helper. We read at the end of verse 2, "For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also." The Greek word used here was commonly used to signify a patron, a wealthy individual who encouraged and financially supported a cause or an organization. What is meant here, then, is Phoebe was no common or ordinary helper, but was an individual of highest esteem and integrity, and probably was a businesswoman of considerable means, who used both her influence and financial well-being to help many, including Paul. Think about Phoebe. She did not hoard her money. She invested her money in the gospel. She invested her money in lives. I say, what a Christian sister and servant and succorer she was. And Paul is most pleased to publicly acknowledge her as a protectress of himself and many other believers. Let me just say, God has blessed all of us in so many ways. God has blessed us financially. We are stewards of what God gives to us. We are stewards of the money that we receive, whether it be your paycheck from work, whether it be a pension, whether it be Social Security, investments, you name it. But God is going to judge us one day, ladies and gentlemen, by what kind of steward we were of what God entrusted to us. And here we have a gal named Phoebe, whom Paul is commending for her faithfulness in the resources that God entrusted to her. In other words, she used her resources to advance the cause of the gospel. I say how blessed to be so commended. Ladies, be known as a sister, as a servant, and as a succorer, as a helper. Well, we've studied Paul's description of Phoebe. Let's notice, secondly, Paul's desire for Phoebe. And two things Paul asks of this Roman church for this godly lady. And the first is that they accept her. Notice verse 2, that ye receive her as becometh saints. Paul says in this letter of commendation, receive, take into your fellowship my sister in Christ, Phoebe, in a manner worthy of the saints. In other words, receive her well. Roll out the red carpet. Treat her, receive her in a Christian way. And how are Christians to welcome other believers? Romans 12:10 says, being kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Which tells us we are to love and serve one another in a way that is distinct from the self-serving world around us. We are to graciously care for those who genuinely name the name of Christ. Let me just say this, and I know we have homes that regularly house our missionaries who come through. We have people that will take missionaries, special speakers out for lunch or dinner or whatever. But let me just encourage you, when you have an opportunity to serve a fellow believer, a missionary, some Christian worker. You can fill in the blank. I mean, you're smart. But when you have an opportunity, do so. Maybe you've never had a missionary stay in your home. Well, maybe God would want you to do that sometime. Maybe you've never taken a missionary family out for lunch or whatever. Do that sometime. That is receiving, that is accepting, as we see here in verse 2, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. That you receive her, that you accept her. One of the things I enjoy about when we have missionaries, when we have evangelists or whatever, is I go out and I get to sit and eat with them and get to know them. In other words, we talk. One of the blessings of the Christian family is to get to know one another, get to know how they think, maybe some burdens they have, some prayer requests they have, how God is using them, how God is working through them. Let me just say this, parents. Having a missionary in your home can be a tremendous testimony to your children. I grew up, we were the hotel for every missionary, the motel for every evangelist that came through. They didn't have fifth wheels back then. When we had a missionary come, they stayed in our home, 3-bedroom home. So guess what? One of us gave up their bedroom. What a blessing, though. I think I've told you the story of John R. Rice. He was in our home and eating a meal. But some of the choicest servants came through our home with the privilege I had to get to know them. And so what do we have Paul telling the church in Rome to do here is to receive, to accept, to minister Christian love, to accommodate, to host our servant, our sister, our succorer, Phoebe. And then secondly, under Paul's desire for Phoebe, Paul requested that the church at Rome assist her, not only accept her, but assist her. Do not just accept her, but assist her, Paul says. Notice in verse 2 that she assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. The literal rendering of this phrase is to stand by her in whatever matter she may need from you. In other words, come alongside of her. Where you can help her, help her. Now, the Greek word matter or business comes from the Greek word pragma, from which we get our English word what? Pragmatic, which means there is flexibility with the practical consequences of actions or beliefs. So regarding Phoebe, Paul was saying, verse 2, Romans, please be efficient, be logical, be helpful, be practical regarding the business matters that my friend has in Rome. Yes, accept her, but also assist her, if possible, in this matter. Get involved. Ask her, how can I help you? For as a businesswoman, she was using her influence and financial means to help others. So again, Romans, help her as she helps others. Join together with her. Be flexible. Be pragmatic in how you help her. In other words, don't say, well, this is what I'm going to do. Just say, what can I do? Show me, how can I help? I truly believe the lessons we can draw from this brief look at a lady named Phoebe is the gospel of Jesus Christ elevates womanhood. In Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Yes, we have different functions within the body of Christ, but we all are to take the spiritual gifts which God has given us and serve, accept, and assist one another. And how I appreciate the faithful ladies of Westside who eagerly and energetically minister to one another. Can you imagine what Westside would be without the ladies of Westside? We have ladies serving in our Sunday school, our children and youth ministry, WANA ministries, in our music program. Wasn't that a beautiful song the gals and guys sang this morning? Our Good News Club, in our prayer chain, in our prison ministry, in visitation, in our lady Bible study. I appreciate the ladies who serve in the nursery. Can you imagine, men, if we were responsible to serve in the nursery? We'd probably have some fatalities. The babies and the young children need a woman's touch. They need a woman's love. Amen? Ladies, I say thank you for being a Phoebe, who is emblematic of the countless women of God whom God has used and continues to use with great distinction within the framework of his divine plan and purpose. But then I would add, if you're not yet a Phoebe, become a sister, become a servant, become a succorer. There is not a more fulfilling way to live. And we as Westside will accept you and we will assist you as you carry out the work of the Lord.